Well, good morning. It's good to be with you today and to be able to share with you on this Palm Sunday. I have to tell you that I love Palm Sunday. I've loved Palm Sunday from when I was a child, and I think that was because it meant that the Easter Bunny was not far away. But you'll be pleased to know that I have matured somewhat since then. But I think part of the reason that I love Palm Sunday is because I have this picture in my mind. I've kind of formed my own view of what Palm Sunday looked like. There was a procession or a ticker tape parade. And without causing too much of a stir here this morning, I think of some things that I know and that I grew up with in Melbourne. When I was a child, we used to go to the Moomba Festival. Have you heard of Moomba? Oh, good, good. Moomba is on the long weekend in March, and on the Monday we would often, as children, our parents would take us into the Moomba Festival, and there was a big parade with floats down the street, and then we'd sit on the banks of the Yarra and watch the water skiing, which always amazed me that people were in that dirty water of the Yarra River, and they seemed to survive that. But there was, you know, kings and queens of Moomba. Bert Newton, Daryl Summers, I think, were all crowned the kings of Moomba. And then in more recent years, this could cause an even greater division, is that there is the AFL Grand Final Parade in Melbourne. Josiah and Dave and Noah have been to a few of those Grand Final Parades. I myself have not. Not really into that kind of thing. But they would go along to these parades where there was so many people cheering, a great sense of excitement, people waving banners or flags supporting their team. They would be chanting. The guest or the guests of honours would come and would be in these fancy vehicles, often cars or utes where they would be sitting. Sometimes they would be in floats. That's what would happen in Moomba, or they'd be riding on horses. And there would be celebration as to what these people were about to achieve. And if you're a premier who's into sport, then in Melbourne, the day before the grand final, which is when the AFL grand final parade happens, it is declared a public holiday. So perhaps if you want more public holidays, you should move to Victoria. But I think in my childlike way, I had this wonderful image of Jesus arriving in what would have been like a Moomba parade or a grand final parade. But I have got older, and obviously my opinions and my thoughts around this have changed somewhat. And I've begun to understand, and I may never understand fully until I meet Jesus, the significance of this day. It's the beginning of Holy Week. A week of reflection, a week of great importance for Christians around the world. Back in the time when Jesus was going into Jerusalem, it was the beginning of the Passover festival, and there were so many people returning to Jerusalem to celebrate. And as Ian just read to us, says in Luke's Gospel 19, verses 29 to 31, that as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you and enter it, and you'll find a colt tied there which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" The two disciples must have wondered about what Jesus was asking them to do, because none of the Gospels who talk about the ministry of Jesus here on earth, none of them ever mention him riding an animal to get from one place to another. You read about how he walked from one town to another, and possibly in his few years here on earth, he must have walked hundreds of miles in ministry up and down the land that we now call the Holy Land. But there is no mention of him riding except in a boat across the Sea of Galilee. But now he gives this unusual command to go to the village, to get a colt that had never been ridden and to bring it to him. He even tells the disciples the exact words that they are to use should anyone question them. They are to say, "The Lord needs it." Was this prearranged? Did the owners know what Jesus was going to do? We don't know. It's obvious, though, that Jesus knew what he was going to face in the city of Jerusalem. So his decision to go into Jerusalem on that day may well have been quite difficult for him, even though he knew he was doing the will of God. Much is written by theologians as to why Jesus chose a donkey, why he rode a donkey, and the significance of this animal. Some say that he was deliberately trying to dismiss the thought that he was a militant Messiah. You see, in times of war, conquerors would ride in chariots or upon stallions, not on a donkey. Some would say that he was simply fulfilling the prophecy from 500 plus years before that you can read in Zechariah 9:9 that says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." By fulfilling this prophecy, Jesus would have been showing to those who knew the scriptures, at least, that he was the Messiah. But this Messiah was different. He was not arriving with an army of men. He was riding a donkey, symbolizing that he came in peace. Because in times of peace, a king would ride a colt to symbolize that peace prevailed. So for Jesus to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey was to declare that he was a king who was proclaiming peace. But it was a very public declaration. And these disciples, they were obedient, as we saw depicted in that clip earlier on. They went and they got the donkey as he requested. Perhaps they did argue and have a conversation. There's no record of that in the scripture. Perhaps they discussed amongst themselves that they could have got a horse or something more important than a donkey. But this lowly animal, this colt, this donkey, became a sacred throne not only for a king, but for the very Son of God. The crowds lined the road that day as Jesus made this declaration that he was the promised king. How would the people respond to Jesus' non-verbal statement that he was making on this day that we now call Palm Sunday? Well, there was a crowd. It says that in scripture. It was a large crowd that lined the roads. But these people would have been made up from many different walks of life. Some would possibly have greeted Jesus with laughter. Maybe they would have been amused by what Jesus was doing. After all, it was a ridiculous picture. Here was a carpenter declaring himself to be the king. Perhaps some would have thought that he was a lunatic, that he'd lost the plot, that he was out of his mind, in a world of fantasy, imagining himself to be a king. And they would laugh at him too. Others may even greet him with anger, upset, because they would interpret his riding into the city as arrogance and blasphemy against God. But of course, there were many that hailed him king, rejoiced as he came in, welcoming him. that he was coming to re-establish the throne of David and overthrow the Roman Empire. They were ready, they were eager and willing to place a crown upon his head. Among the crowds would may have been people that he'd healed. Some would have been among the thousands that he'd fed as he had the loaves and the fish. Many more would have seen some of his miracles and listened as he spoke with authority. And their lives would have been changed because of his ministry here on earth. We read earlier again from Luke 19 where it says that they threw their cloaks on the colt and they put Jesus on it. In Mark's gospel, we read that when they brought the cloak to Jesus, they threw their cloaks over it and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Similar to the Christmas narrative, over the years we tend to combine all the versions from the different Gospels and put them together to make a composite version of Palm Sunday. Palm branches, hosannas, cloaks on the road. Does it matter? Probably not. What matters in all of this is that Jesus was making his final journey into Jerusalem in preparation for his crucifixion. Here's another narrative that I read. As Jesus rides down toward the gate of the city, the crowds are growing, and there is a festive air, for it is Passover, and the pilgrims are gathering from far and near for this greatest of all the Jewish holidays. Even before Jesus arrives, the news has spread that Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. You can imagine the excitement that prevails. Have you heard the news? Lazarus died and was buried in a tomb so long that his body was starting to decay. But this teacher from Nazareth called out, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth. "I saw him. They stripped away the grave clothing and he actually walked and breathed and lived again. Surely only the Messiah could do that." The news travels from one person to another until finally, when Jesus was ready to enter the city, great crowds had collected on both sides of the road. They were there. They'd cut palm branches and they were shouting, "Hosanna to the King!" Excitement prevailed throughout the whole city. Then Jesus looked over his waiting audience. He must have seen a mixture of expressions on their faces. There were those who loved him. Perhaps Bartimaeus was there, a man who had received his sight, no longer in his beggar's rags. How about Zacchaeus? He'd paid back his debt to society and had made his peace with God. And the lepers, their skin had been cleansed and now they were rejoicing for the healing that the Lord had given them. Maybe Jairus' daughter was there, back to life also after experiencing death. Lazarus, Mary and Martha and Mary Magdalene, they were all there. Their lives reflected the love that was in their hearts for this man who had taught them, moulded them and changed them. But there were also sinister faces there, faces with doubting eyes, waiting for him to say one wrong word, to make one mistake. The Sadducees and the Pharisees were there. They were supposed to be keepers of the law, the spiritual leaders. But Jesus had gained so much popularity that they felt threatened. so full of jealousy as they watched him. The people, the crowd, there were so many people, all reacting so differently. How do you react to Jesus today? Are you here in this place with hosannas and praise? Or are you here as a skeptic wondering who he is, what he is doing, and questioning whether he really is the Messiah? Well, disciples are mentioned twice in this passage from Luke. One of those verses is earlier when Jesus sends two of his disciples to find the donkey. But in verse 37, we read this. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. The whole crowd of disciples. It was a happy scene as the disciples began joyfully praising God. They praised him for all the mighty works that they had seen with their own eyes, miraculous things that Jesus had done throughout his ministry here on earth. But as I've said, and as was in that narrative that I just read, not everybody felt like this. Some would have said it was an act of glorious defiance. By this time, there was a price on Jesus' head, really. People wanted him gone. Some wanted him dead. Yet the whole crowd of disciples were singing, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It's impossible to exaggerate the sheer courage of Jesus on this day, even though he knew it was part of the bigger picture. You know, a disciple can be described as a follower, a believer, a supporter, a devotee, an apostle, a fanatic, an enthusiast, a learner, a pupil, an adherent, a fan, a groupie, a convert. Are you a disciple? Are you a true follower? There's a long-running joke in my family about me and my commitment to sport and to any particular team. If you were to ask Dave or Nora or Josiah, our sons, which AFL team I followed, you would probably get three different answers. If you asked them who I followed in the basketball, you'd probably get two different responses. I can tell you at the moment that I'm currently on the side of the Brooklyn Nets, but there's no real reason for that. It was just that I liked what they were wearing one day. And perhaps if you asked me about NRL, you would also get three different answers, depending on the colours that the teams were wearing on the day that I was asked the question. Because for me, when it comes to supporting sport, I am not a true disciple. I easily jump from one team to another, and I'm often called a bandwagoner, if you like, by our sons. Or I'm asked where my commitment is to the West Coast Eagles, which is their AFL team of choice for the three people in my family. Think about the crowd of disciples for a moment. These people were true followers. They were the apostles, the converts, the fans, and the believers of Jesus. They were not like me with sport. They were committed. They laid their cloaks on the ground. They waved palm branches in victory, shouting their praise to him as he went by. But there were two groups of people. There were those who were the disciples, and there were those who were questioning. Some things haven't changed. The world is still like that. So I ask you today, where do you fit? Are you questioning who Jesus is, what he is doing? Or are you part of the whole crowd of disciples who worshipped Jesus on this day and recognized him as the Messiah, the Son of God? And no matter where you are, my bigger question is, what is your response to him on this day, Palm Sunday? Shall we pray? God, we want to thank you for the gift of Jesus, for the way that you sent your Son to this earth. And right at the commencement of this Holy Week, we want to reflect on who he is, the Messiah, the promised Messiah, the Saviour of the world. And Lord, as we think about these next few days and the journey that Jesus went on, Lord, my prayer for each one of us is that we would be true disciples of Jesus, that we would be committed, that we would sing praises, that we would wave palm branches, that we would shout Hosanna to him because we know who he is. For those of us who are asking questions, Lord, may you reveal yourself to us again, that we may know the truth, and that the truth will set us free. Help us to follow you, to worship you, to praise you, to give you the glory that you are so worthy of. And help us to always be part of the whole crowd of disciples who worshipped you on that day. Amen.